भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Tapi sambhajishyamo Vavanditena saduna Ayamhi paramo lavo Nuinam sadhu samagama Tapi Nevertheless, Samvadishyama, we shall converse, Bhavani, my dear Bhavani, Itena, with this, Saduna, pure devotee. So interesting, actually. This pastime is such a fascinating pastime. We'll just connect it to the last verse where Shiva is, and he's with Bhavani, and he sees Markandeya Rishi fixed in meditation. His meditation is so deep that he doesn't even notice the presence of Lord Shiva or Bhavani. Just like when we chant our japa, we don't notice anything. We're so absorbed in the sweet relationship. But he was focused. And the only way one could be that focused is to be so deeply realized and be experienced. Otherwise, we become distracted by the externals. Something happens on the surface of existence, and our mind immediately goes there. So that really implies that our lack of depth in our meditation, doesn't it? So anyway, Markandeya Rishi, after what he had been through, he was very ready to fully absorb himself in taking shelter of Krishna, fully and only deeply. What had he been through? Let's see if anyone has seen the last episodes, previous episodes of this incredible drama. It was a flood, yes. For how long? Yeah, so long that... he had gotten a benediction that he would live for four. And that's millions and millions of years. And this pastime is now, it goes in 8, 9, and 10 of the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, and it's now reaching its conclusion in this chapter. And practically right at the end, the conclusion will be stated of the whole pastime, which connects to the pastime of the whole 12th canto, really, and also the Bhagavatam, because here the end of the whole Bhagavatam is so rapidly approaching. And what are the final messages going to be? I bet you are all sitting on the edges of your asanas, just eagerly trying to understand what is the last thing that Śrīla Vyāsadeva wishes to tell us. What is he going to leave us with? And here, in this verse, it's one of the most essential points. And we have just read half of it, the English translation. A tapi, because because Lord Shiva and Bhavani, his wife, are nearby, and they see Markandeya Rishi so deeply focused in his meditation, and they immediately, because he is a devotee of Lord Shiva, who, as Vaishnava Namyata Shambhu, as the greatest of Vaishnavas, he is a devotee of Lord Shiva, his father was cursed that his son would die at the age of 16, and that boy was Markandeya Rishi, you know? And the boy became a great devotee, Vaishnava devotee of Lord Shiva. And when Yamaraj came to take him, he was worshipping Lord Shiva, and he held on to the linga, Shiva linga, and Yamaraj couldn't take him. He held on. So when it's time for us to go, what will we hold on to? This is one essential question, which in one sense is the message of the Bhagavatam, because Prickett Maharaj, it was time for him to leave. And he had only 7 days left, and the question was, what should I do during this time? In other words, what should I fill my consciousness with? In other words, what should I hold on to? Because my death is approaching. So he, Markandeya Rishi, held on being a very powerful, incredibly powerful soul, so fixed in meditation on the Lord, he held on to Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva, at this point, after him having witnessed the entirety of the devastation, and it wasn't pleasant for him at all, he is fixed again in meditation, because sometimes it takes some rattling of our illusory perception of reality to make us take shelter of Krishna deeply, because otherwise we just remain superficial, as if superficial was all that really existed. We remain in superficial consciousness because that's unfortunately our situation. So when he was rattled to the core, he was shaken so deeply, he didn't have any shelter at all on the material level. He was in the waters of devastation for so long, an incalculable amounts of time. Like we think 2 years is a long time, or 5 years is a long time. He was in there for thousands of years, thousands, millions of years, and suffering like anything. And then he was caught up into the body of that little boy. He was swept up into it, as was all of existence. And in the body of Krishna, he saw everything in existence. And then he was out again with the outward breath. And then suddenly, oh no, we're going to have to go through this again in the waters of devastation. And suddenly he found himself back in his ashram. And why did this all happen? Because he had asked Narayana Rishi for the benediction of what? I want to see, you know, what's this Maya like? Sometimes we also have what is this? I wonder what it would be like to experience this. What would it be like to experience that, or to know this, or to have that? So you want to play with the material energy. And Markandeya Rishi, who is actually the reason why he had asked for that, had come from his previous birth. So he had done something in his previous birth that he would be bewildered. And that was bewildered, in case some of us have missed the point, that if we want to play and experience the material energy, that's a bewildered state of consciousness. So even Markandeya Rishi, who is so focused, incredibly focused, unbelievably focused, practically speaking, he became bewildered and asked to see the Lord's Maya. And therefore he got to experience that. He didn't like it, actually. It was quite unpleasant. So he had come out and he was fixed in meditation, and Lord Shiva and Bhavani Parvati had seen him, and they said they wanted to give him something, give him a benediction, and Lord Shiva replied that what's there to benedict him with? He already has the best thing, and that is pure devotional service. Bhaktim param bhagavati, from yesterday's verse. He already has the best thing. What do you give a person who has the best thing already, who has everything, who's fully satisfied and fully focused on that thing, wonderful thing? Bhaktim param bhagavati labhavan puruṣe avyaya. He's focused fully already in devotional service. Labha means achieve, having achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what's there to give him? And then this verse, wonderful verse. Atapi samvadishyamo. Nevertheless, samvadishyamo. We shall converse, Bhavani, with him, Bhavani. Even though he doesn't want anything from us, and we have nothing to give him, we shall still converse with him, Bhavani Ekena, with this saduna, with this sadhu. This pure devotee, still, even though there is no external reason for our interaction with him, neither giving nor taking, still, we should associate with this sadhu, this holy person. Why? I am. No, we're up to this word now. I am. This.
He.
What does he mean? Certainly or indeed. Parama. What does Parama mean? The best or the topmost, the best here. Labha. Gain. So we should still associate with him. Because associating with the sadhu, is the best gain. I am. This indeed is the best gain, certainly. Nrinam. For men. Sadhu samgama. The association of saintly devotees. So here's the translation. Still, my dear Bhavani, let us talk with this saintly personality. After all, association with saintly devotees is man's highest achievement. Paramo labho. Tadiyanam, tadiya, samachanam, the things are connected to the Lord, what to speak of himself. That's why we don't put kartals on the places where we walk, and we certainly don't put madangas just on the ground. We never do things like that. Why? Because out of respect for whom they are connected to. Kadiyanam samacharam. Again, Lord Shiva says that the tadiya, those things that are connected with me, are more worshipable even than me. This also explains something very mysterious. Why, when Krishna woke up, Mother Yasoda was churning butter, what did baby Krishna start doing immediately? Before he started asking for milk, he was crying. Why? Because that's what babies do when they just wake up and they don't have their mother right there. They cry. And they want something to eat. Or drink. In this So why does Krishna act in this way? Because he's so much in the mood of a little boy. His mother's love has placed his consciousness in the mood of a little boy. Her love is so powerful and so focused. His consciousness, which is, he knows everything, so he's savagya, he knows everything. He loses that savagya nature in the presence of his mother's love, and he acts like the perfect little boy. Perfect in every sense, but especially in the sense that he elicits ecstasies of this type, motherly affection in his mother. So he starts crying and he wants milk. And his mother is churning butter. And as she's churning butter, she's thinking, oh, I want to give this to my boy. I'm going to do it for him. And as she's doing it, her consciousness is focused on him. And she's singing his glories. This is what we do. We chant Krishna's holy names. And in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, that's what they do also. They chant Krishna's holy names and his pastimes. They have kirtan. It's a non-stop kirtan, basically. Nama Rupa Guna Lila Kirtan of Krishna. Continuously chanting about Krishna. His name forms pastimes and name forms and qualities. Guna. So Mother Yasoda is associating with Krishna by churning, serving him, and her consciousness is absorbed in thoughts of him by chanting about his wonderful activities, heart-capturing activities. And then Krishna comes running, and she immediately, and crying, so immediately, just consider how Mother Yasoda feels. Her beloved son is coming to him, crying, and she wants only him. And she wants only, he wants only her, and he's crying and crying. And she picks him up, and milk is flowing, and she has what? She has the milk, which is her affection for him in the form of nourishment, and she's feeding him. And then suddenly, what happens? Oh, cooks have experienced this. What happens? The milk pot, it boils over. Now, it's very surprising then. She has the beloved of her life who is giving her the most satisfaction and who wants her so dearly and only her, and she puts him down to right the milk pot that's boiling over. One could think that's very surprising to some. We could think, well, let it boil. Who cares? You know, we have, how many cows did Nanda Maharaj have? 9 lakhs of cows? Or 900,000 cows. So, and this was one milk pot. Of course, it wasn't ordinary milk because Mother Yasoda used to find the best cows. We gave the best milk. We feed them the best grasses so that they would have the best milk for Krishna. You wouldn't say it's ordinary, but there was more milk. In fact, Raja is sometimes called Svetadip, because what does Sweta mean? Yeah, because there was an ocean of cows, an island and an ocean of white cows and white milk. But Mother Yasoda put Krishna down to take care of the tadia, the things that are used in Krishna's worship. It wasn't an intellectual adjustment or something, but naturally, things that are used to please Krishna when we have devotion. So that we take so naturally, take so much care of them because they're used to please Krishna. No other reason, because they're used to please Krishna. So that's how the devotee deals with the material world too. The jnanis, they are haters of the material world, the real jnanis, not the fake New Age jnanis, contemporary Mayavadi type of jnanis. But real jnanis, they're so renounced, they don't want to get entangled in material activities and material thoughts, so they don't deal with the material world. They hate it, because for them it means karma. Material activities in the material world means entrapment in karma, and that's the last thing they want, and the first thing they want is liberation. So they hate the material world. And the karmis, they love the material world, because the material world is the source of their pleasure. For a jnani, the material world is the source of their misery, the objects of the material world. For a karmi, they're so entangled in it because it's the source of their pleasure. That's why they perform their karma, their activities, so that they could extract pleasure from the material world as much as is possible. For the devotees, neither hate nor love it, but they just see it as Krishna's. And let me use it in his service because it's his. His. What verse? Let's see, look at those ones. Yubanda, Krishna Sambanda, Yuktavarani Ishite. Or the verse given by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that Mahaprabhu came to teach this point, Vairagya Vidyanija Bhakti Yoga. That these things, Vairagya Vidya means detached, the knowledge of detached renunciation. Not averse renunciation, but detached or neutral, and using everything as it's meant to be used in the service of he whom it belongs to. So Mahaprabhu specifically came to teach that. And Srila Prabhupada, oh, is he a past master of that? There was one time he was, I must have mentioned this at some point, but anyway, that some, at 26, when he was at 26 Second Avenue and he was having the kirtans, there was one very modern, contemporary musician who used to play he used to take a piano, and he used to play just the inside of the piano, bang on the strings on the inside of the piano. It's really the thing to do. If you haven't tried it, don't laugh at it, don't knock it. It must be so wonderful with a hammer. What else would you play the inside of a piano with a hammer, of course. So, and he used to come to the kirtans. And then he was having a recital of his newly found art form at, of all places, one of the most prestigious old places, music halls in New York City called Carnegie Hall. Have you ever heard of Carnegie Hall? At least 80% of your life is wasted if you haven't heard of Carnegie Hall. But it's very prestigious. Probably the most famous, it was the most famous music hall in New York, which is the most important city in existence, in case you haven't heard. Left off, Prabhupada went there. Baroda. But aside from this, Prabhupada went there, and the person was so happy to see Prabhupada. He actually went to this wild music recital, rather wild recital. Music yet. And Prabhupada stayed for the whole first half of the performance. And then after he got up and thanked him, and then he left. And and they, and after the devotees were feeling bad that Prabhupada had to sit through that, and his reply was, "No, I went to see if Carnegie Hall would be useful for a temple." And then he saw, he used to see the buildings, and he said, "How this could be used in Krishna service." His vision was so big and so pure, because we have to see the material world. I mean, we do see the material world, and if we don't see it with Krishna sambandha, in relationship to Krishna, well, what are we going to see it with? In relationship to me and my pleasure. So this is actually vairagya vidya, renunciation based on true knowledge. So Prabhupada was a master of that, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a master of that. And he really, Prabhupada had stated that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he really, that was one of his main preachings, to show that everything should be used in the service of Krishna. And he was so radical in this way, because he saw that the so-called renunciants, the so-called sannyasis and babajis and yatis and all the renunciants, they weren't able to actually renounce the things of this material world in a practical sense. What to speak of in a philosophical sense, seeing it as Krishna's energy. But they weren't actually able to renounce the things of this world, because you try to, like if you try to say, "I'm not going to think of my computer right now. I'm not going to think of my computer. Whatever I think of, I'm not going to think of my computer. I don't want to get entangled in thoughts of my computer. I'm not going to think of my computer." So what are you going to always be thinking of all the time is your computer. And how you're not going to icha dvesha samutena, that attachment and aversion are that which binds us to the material world. Not only attachment, but aversion. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena, the duality of that bewilders us. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw that the so-called renunciants were falling victim to the objects of the senses. So he wanted to make the point that everything should be used in the service of Krishna. And who knows any of the radical things he did in this regard? Does anyone know any of them? Huh? Yeah, exhibition, but still more radical than that, although it doesn't sound radical to us nowadays. Huh?
He used a car in the service.
Yeah, he used a car, because in those days, sannyasis, they weren't allowed to, they weren't allowed to have any, they would only walk from place to place. And what did he use the car, and where did he drive it to even? Radhakund. Which, he had his way of making statements. Everything should be used for Krishna. Everything for Krishna. The whole world should be used for Krishna. We remember also that that Prabhupada, we had heard that Prabhupada had said in the early 70s, he had said, there's a picture of Ramakrishna. Someone is offering him money, and he's going like this. And actually, I saw that picture in Calcutta in Prabhupada's Radhagovinda temple many, many, many years ago, where Prabhupada grew up. First time I went there, they had that picture, and unfortunately, practically worshiping him. But, so Prabhupada said, there's a picture of Ramakrishna going like this when someone's offering money. And you can take a picture of me going like this. More. We can use everything for Krishna's service. It is all Lakshmi Day. That's why we have this kind of, we have that interesting habit of referring to Lakshmi points and things like that. Which is, I wonder what people think when they come in and they hear us. And 40 Lakshmi points today. Do we still do that sometimes? Lakshmi points. It's an ISKCONism. It's technical vocabulary. What we mean by Lakshmi points is money. But we could, because we don't want to say, and you know, someone collected so much money today, and everyone cheers, or at least something like that, because it looks peculiar to to people who don't understand that it's returning Lakshmi to Krishna, which is ideal. In fact, there was also one initiation which Srila Prabhupada named one of his disciples, I think it was Ramaranya, and he said that Ravana tried to steal Sita Devi, who was the goddess of fortune, from Ram, and use her in his service. So similarly, there's so much fortune in the world, and your service should be to accumulate as much as possible and return it to the service of Ram, Krishna. So Prabhupada wasn't shy about that at all. And when he would be challenged on these types of things, he would push back so strongly. And in Australia, they picked him up in a Rolls Royce car. And the reporters thought, oh, here is one of those cheater leaders who exploit the poor followers. And you know, he's the one on top who's enjoying. Of course, there is someone on top enjoying it, but it's him. So they were thinking it's Prabhupada, you know, was exploiting his poor followers, and so they challenged Prabhupada in that way. The reporter, that was in Melbourne, I believe. And Prabhupada's reply wasn't shy at all. It wasn't embarrassed at all. He said, because they didn't have anything better to give me. There were no golden. They represented one who was representing the Lord, especially someone on the level of Prabhupada, who didn't take it for his own pleasure at all and didn't feed his false ego with it. You know, we tend to want whatever we get, we tend to at least take some percentage for our ego or bodily mental gratification, but Prabhupada was everything for Krishna. He had such a big vision, and that was the vision that he caught in the movie, caught from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Everything for Krishna, the whole world, the universe should be used. Why are you traveling in a plane? Sannyasis should walk. Only devotees should be allowed to travel in planes. Someone would push, and he would push back 10 times as hard, not at all shy. One reporter asked him, I read in your books, traveling? Came on an American Airlines plane or something like that to some place. So some reporter in the United States asked him, why did you come by plane if you're so powerful and mystic powers? Mm-hmm. Something like that. And Prabhupada said Prabhupada had said that there are three ways one can travel from the Bhagavatam. You can travel by flying carpet. You can travel by mystic something or other, and you can also travel by putting ropes around pigeons and having them fly and having them carry you. So the reporter asked, how come you came by plane? And Prabhupada replied, to be one with you. And then he just laughed and smiled. He had this way of smiling in this charming way. One reporter asked him, one lady reporter who was wearing a short skirt and it was cold, said, why do you have a shaved head? You know that one. She said, "Why do you have a shaved head?" And Prabhupada said, "Why do you have a short skirt?" And he said, "It is better to have warm legs and a cool head." How clever is that? How clever is that? And he just left, and she left also. She thought it was wonderful. It is better to have warm legs and a cool head. That's, what is it? Eloquence is truth spoken concisely. So we actually came to the point of the verse, even though there's no purport here. Because even Lord Shiva is saying, "My dear Bhavani, let us talk with this saintly personality. After all, association with saintly devotees is a man's highest achievement." So what verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Lava Matra Saru Sangha. How does it begin? Saru Sangha, Saru Sangha, Sarva Shastra Hoy. All holy books make this point. And to associate with holy people, lava matra, even for a moment, sarva siddhi hoy, one can attain all perfections. Some taste, a different taste is put in the heart, because we run our life, our existence in the material world, and also the spiritual world, based on our taste. What is pleasant for us? What is tasty for us? So the materialistic people have their own tastes, what they like. And the jnanis, they have their tastes, what they like. What is wonderful for them, what is tasty and inspiring for them and gives them pleasure. And the devotees have their tastes, what gives them pleasure. So it's important for us to know where to find our taste, because if we don't find the tastes in devotional life, we'll be forced by our pleasure-seeking natures to seek the tastes of the material world. And on the other hand, if our taste in spiritual life is cultivated to the degree that it overwhelms us, in other words, it's wonderful, so wonderful that we're so satisfied experiencing that, then we won't have any need or desire to play with the material nature, which can award only lower tastes. So there's an urgency in a sense, to experience a higher taste, higher than the material taste. And therefore, we're given such easy access, simple access to a higher taste through the holy names of Krishna. That's one of the dispensations to make for the poor people of Kali Yuga, who are so fractured and divided such a difficult time. So many terrible sanskaras, impressions in their consciousness already. So something very simple, like Markandeya Rishi, he was so powerful as a sage. He could sit and meditate so deeply, and nothing in the external world could touch or move him from his focus. Incredible. He was unique in this way, because he had the benediction again that he could live for three manus or so, lives of manu. Very unique. He was the longest. Even the demigods don't live that long. They get changed with every change of manu. But he surpassed them in his lifespan. And it's so tempting for me to go ahead and explain what I saw was the point of his pastime, and how it connects with Maharaj Prickett's life too. Because this is like the final message of the Bhagavatam. What does this person want? He's meditating. What does he want? What is his desire? Lord Shiva is going to ask him, please, what do you want? We're so pleased with you, such a person like you, who's so seriously focused. What can we give you? How can we serve you? Who's so qualified to accept what we have to give you? What do you want? Even though you don't really want anything. What can we do? How can we serve you? And he's going to give an answer. That's wonderful. And I'm resisting all temptation. I'm not saying what it is. And none of you are allowed to eat either. Come and bless. So that's the gift of a saintly person, his face, what he has gathered by his sincere endeavor, and whatever mercy, whatever jewels he has gathered in his consciousness from his sadhan and his practice. That association, that's a taste. That's what Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura, I think it's Deepa Nīva Bhajan Dhokwa, he calls it Shraddha actually. But Prabhupada, in one purport in the Bhagavatam, third canto, he says the Bhakti Lata Bija is a taste. So I want this. It's a faith. It's faith, Shraddha. Want this. This is the flavor that I am hankering for. It's also explained to be the rules and regulations, because they award me the advancement. That's a taste. And when that taste, Shraddha, when that taste grows, and the Bhakti Lata Bija grows, it grows out of this world. For one to taste it deeply, one has to drop one's material attachments. As the taste increases, one's material taste drops, then it's simple. It's hard to drop them when we still have a desire for them. But fixed on whatever higher taste we have, we do that. And then, Ihad Mali, Nikis, Sashi, Shravamadi, Jal. And then we water that seed of devotion until it grows and grows into a flowering plant. And that plant goes through the stages of, it becomes fixed and strongly rooted. And that is nista, and then some taste comes. Taste comes, ruchi. And then when taste is there, when we're getting pleasure from something, what's the next thing that happens naturally? When something gives you pleasure, you become attached to it. And then at the stage of the shakti or attachment, then we want something so badly that we don't yet have. And the dynamic tension of wanting something incredible, having an incredible taste for it, but not yet having it, that creates a transcendental greed in the heart. It's unsatisfying, it's unsatisfiable by our own potency, and that melts the heart of Krishna. The longing, the crying out of the devotees on that stage. By Krishna's mercy, he gets the shelter of the internal energy. It's called Bhava Bhakti. And Bhava Bhakti is called in the language of Nectar devotion. Bhakti Sankar Sindhu, Premankur. Just is the seed of prema. And then when the that bhakti lata fully has attained prema bhakti, it gets the shelter. Well, that's actually when it gets the full shelter of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Then it gives its fruit of prema. And that prema is described in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, all the devotees. They're all so focused on him with such love. Spontaneously. That is the supreme thing to be gained. Rinam per person, it's sadhu samagamam. Because it will change our taste. And that's what we should pray to the deities for this. Let me have an attraction for you. Rupa Goswami has such a nice prayer in this regard. I don't know the Sanskrit of this. Just as a young boy, are you going to school now? Just as a young boy naturally has a taste for association with a young girl, and just as a young girl naturally has association to a taste for a young boy, let me naturally have that taste for the need of your service. Natural. And that's the soul's actual constitution. Naturally in love with Krishna. So we pray to the deities, we chant, begging the holy names for some mercy. We sing his names sincerely. We serve. Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Didn't change his focus, but the verse comes up. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. He worships Lord Shiva. He loves Lord Shiva, but as the greatest of devotees. Because Lord Shiva is the greatest of Vaishnavas. That's why Mahaprabhu was respecting all the Shiva temples when he was traveling. You remember that? Because he was worshipping the devotee of the Lord. He didn't give up, never gave up the worship of Lord Shiva. He loved Lord Shiva, he served Lord Shiva. That will come in his prayers. But to worship Lord Shiva as the independent Supreme Lord is not proper. It's a vidipurvakam. One time even in Hong Kong, there was a very, very nice Jari priest of the local Hindu temple on the Hong Kong side. And Prabhupada had come. And he came and invited Prabhupada to visit his temple. To visit the temple. And Prabhupada asked me if he should go, not in his presence. Asked me, do you think I should go? And I said, no, Prabhupada. And he said, why? And I said, well, they worship Lord Shiva there. And he became very upset with me. He said, you tell them not to worship Lord Shiva? He became very angry. I said, no. But they worship him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said, oh, but I don't want to go. It was so natural and innocent, his